You're listening to a podcast from the South China Morning Post.
In March this year, a live-action remake of the 1998 animated Disney film Mulan was given a premiere screening in Los Angeles. It got a mostly positive reaction from reviewers and got strong support from the Asian American community because it was the first Disney film to feature an all-Asian cast. It stars well-known Chinese and Hong Kong-born actors Gong Li, Liu Yifei, Zi Ma, as well as Jet Li and Donnie Yen. Here's a little sample from the trailer.
She's both beautiful and strong. Your job is to bring honor to the family. Do you think you can do that?
When they find out who you are, they will show you no mercy. I'm Hua Mulan. I will bring honor to us all.
When people in the West think of the story of Mulan, they are probably more familiar with the animated Disney version from 1998, starring Minna Wang, Eddie Murphy, James Hong, Donny Osmond, and Pat Morita. Let's see if this jogs your memory.
You stole your father's armor, ran away from home, impersonated a soldier, deceived your commanding officer, dishonored the Chinese army, destroyed my palace.
That little baby is all grown up and saving China. You have a tissue.
With all due respect, Your Excellency, I think I've been away from home long enough.
So the world will know what you have done for China.
But if you mention Mulan to Chinese people, whether or not they speak Cantonese or Mandarin, there's a very good chance that we will remember these words. Tick tick fuk tick tick, Muk Lan Dong Wu Tick, Bat Mun Gay Chu Sing, Wei Mun Nu Tan Sik, Mun Nu Ho So Si, Mun Nu Ho So Yik, Lu Yik Mo So Si, Lu Yik Mo So Yik. That's a Cantonese version of the Mulan poem I was taught back in high school. The Ballad of Mulan is a poem that Chinese kids growing up on this side of the world get taught to recite very early on in their life. It's a poem that appeared in print more than 1,500 years ago, and depending on which historian you want to read, Mulan is either based on real-life characters or is a work entirely of fiction. And now in China, people have been making films about her since 1927. But it wasn't until 1975 when an author named Maxine Kingston featured the Mulan story in a book titled The Woman Warrior that Western audiences were properly introduced to Hua Mulan, the main character. But here we are in 2020, and Disney's first all-Asian feature film is at the center of not just one, but multiple controversies over some of the locations where it was filmed, what its actors have been saying on social media, and finally what Chinese audiences are saying about the film now that it's getting released in mainland China. Welcome to our latest Inside China podcast. My name is Mimi Lau. Let's start with the current controversy over Mulan that is becoming something of a global storm on social media. The film was supposed to be released at American cinemas in March this year, but it was delayed because of the pandemic. Mulan was finally released this month via the Disney Plus streaming service. It is the most expensive live-action remake Disney has produced in its history. But that's not what people were talking about. Very soon after it screened on Disney Plus, screenshots of the film's end credits begin circulating via Twitter. The credits of the film give special thanks to 8 government entities in Xinjiang, including the Public Security Bureau in Turban, a city in eastern Xinjiang where multiple internment camps have been documented. Now previously, human rights groups, academics and news organizations, including the South China Morning Post, have exposed the harsh crackdown against Uyghur and Kazakh Muslims in Xinjiang. This includes mass internment, forced political indoctrination, and forced sterilizations,
forced labor as well as intense religious and movement restrictions. The boycott Mulan campaign and a fallout from the film's links to Xinjiang is ongoing. And it is something my colleagues are covering as it happens on SCMP.com. Please check in for the latest updates on that part of the story.
Just a quick note here. After I recorded this podcast, we received reports that Chinese authorities have instructed mainland media outlets not to cover the release of Mulan. And we also received reports that all references to Mulan were being removed from Chinese social media, including Weibo.
But that's just the latest controversy. Just over a year ago, the hashtag boycott Mulan was trending in Hong Kong already. Also in Thailand, Taiwan, for other reasons. The campaign began after Crystal Liu Yifei, the actor who plays Mulan in this film, posted comments about the Hong Kong protests on Chinese social media. But that's not the only link between Mulan and Hong Kong. Just a couple of months ago, there was an entirely separate campaign about the real Mulan. And someone who's been following this closely is my colleague Yiling Yao, based in Beijing. She covers film, food, and pop culture in China. Elaine, let's start with the original hashtag boycott Mulan campaign in August last year. What was that all about?
So last year, Crystal Liu, the leading actress of Mulan, who is a Chinese-American, blocked a political post to her page on Weibo. Weibo is China's answer to Twitter. And the post is like, "I support Hong Kong's police, you can beat me up now." So she also include a hashtag saying, "I support Hong Kong police." So this kind of hashtag and this kind of reposting on her Weibo really make a large group of Hong Kong people, especially youngsters, very upset.
In English, she also added, "What a shame for Hong Kong." The post was an apparent reference to chants heard by pro-police activists demonstrating in support of a journalist who was beaten by pro-democracy protesters. Is that right?
Yes, yes. I think that's what she said. The shameful post is really upsetting for young people in Hong Kong. That's why it's not just affecting people in Hong Kong, people in Taiwan, people in Thailand, who is also objecting to the government's crackdown on their freedom. So it kind of like rally people in Taiwan, Asia, Thailand, and Hong Kong to launch a boycott campaign against this movie.
So the boycott movement started from last year. And can you tell us and update us what is the latest about boycott Mulan?
I think boycott Mulan it started from a posting from Crystal Liu, and then it grew larger because the boycott Mulan campaign now even extend to the West, because it turns out that some of the scenes in the movie were filmed in Xinjiang, and then after the movie finished, like the rolling credits, like people see that Disney gives special thanks to Xinjiang regional government bureau, which is involved in the establishment of those so-called re-education camps, but the Western media refer to concentration camps. So not just the Asian or the Hong Kong Taiwanese people boycott it, now even the Western people boycott it, because Western people, they feel very strongly about the Xinjiang issues. And then it also spread to Chinese people, overseas Chinese, or who have watched the movie on Disney Plus online, or those who have watched pirated copies. They really don't like how the movie treat cultural elements of China. So they kind of think that they treat the national treasure, the national folklore, in a bad way that is disrespectful. So the boycott campaign now extend beyond political. It also cultural and also extend to the West.
This film is supposed to debut this week in cinemas in mainland China, but it's already been getting reviews on Chinese social media. Ticketing, the box office forecast is not looking great. Can you tell us about that, and how is the mainland audience so far has been responding to it?
Because the movie has been released online, and so many overseas Chinese have watched it, and also pirated copies have been spreading to mainland, so people can watch it online, the pirated version. So over 15,000 reviews are already on the Douban. Douban is kind of China's answer to Rotten Tomatoes. A majority of those reviews give it a poor rating. And so the overall score is just 4.7 out of 10, which is like a very bad score for such a blockbuster that involves so much money and so much manpower. The Chinese people who have watched the films, they are very upset, like the cultural elements, how Disney handle it, they compare it. It's like you go to a Chinese restaurant in America Chinatown or Canada Chinatown, but you eat the Chinese food. So it's not real Chinese food. It lacks the authentic flavor, but it's also not Western food. So it's like something you don't know what it is. It's not Western and it's not the East. So people are very upset. They also accuse Disney of handling cultural elements disrespectfully. There are many examples, there are reviews like posting on that site that are very negative.
So this is a cinema equivalent of General Chow Chicken.
Yes, you can definitely say that. So I can actually read some of the reviews that
yes.
I like. Some, there's a guy called Oasis. He said that Gong Li, the superstar in China, who starred in the movie, he played the role of a witch, like a evil witch, powerful witch. But like Oasis, a Chinese reviewer, a mainland reviewer, think that this role is totally unnecessary because in Chinese tradition, in Chinese folklore, we don't have the concept of witch, which is a very Western concept, like a witch with white hair, with blocking teeth and boiling medicine in front of a large cauldron. But this kind of thing is never in the Chinese. In the Chinese, maybe our concept is like ghost with a very long hair climbing out of a well. This is more Chinese kind of evil female character in ancient folklore. So Oasis, this reviewer, think that Gong Li, this character, is totally unnecessary. Like, why do you add such a character into Mulan, which is like has nothing to do with Mulan? And another reviewer said that like Liu Yifei, he lacked the masculinity, like flavor, which is a necessary character trait for Mulan. And so whenever she saw her on screen, she just lacked the, she's not convincing as a character that is actually doing the guise of man to be the soldier in the place of her father. So the leading actresses, they think it's wrongly cast. It's all these reviews, is like waves of negative reviews on the Douban. So this will definitely affect the box office, that this movie is going to open on September 11. I wrote an article which is about the pre-sale, like the advanced ticket sales, which is really bad. Like, because recently in China, we have two blockbusters. One is the World War II war epic, The 800. Another is romance drama called Love You Forever. But this is, they have like 10 times or even 100 times the advanced ticket sales than Mulan. Mulan advanced ticket sales for the opening day, September 11th, is just 2 million something. 2 million is a really paltry figure for such a vast market in China, because market get the most number of theater screens in the whole world.
Thank you so much. So can I also get you to talk about your interview with Yong Sun An, who stars as Mulan's love interest in the film? Was there any sense that the boycott campaign was impacting on the actors?
They don't think that the boycott like can kind of like affect them, but they are more like concerned about the film cannot be sung in cinemas in the West because of the pandemic. It's a very a pity that such a visual spectacle can only be viewed at home in the West. But this is a very young New Zealand Chinese who grew up in Hong Kong, who is born in Zhuhai, which is in southern China. He also loved a lot of ancient Chinese culture, like Journey to the West, those kind of things. He thinks that this movie is an authentic portrayal of Chinese culture. He thinks that it's closely aligned with the original poem of Mulan. But the good thing is that this movie, to An San, he thinks that it has good Asian representation, because all the hit movies recently, like Crazy Rich Asians and The Farewell, this feature all Asian cast, and it was a blockbuster in the US. So Asian Americans as a star is rising rapidly in the showbiz industry. So this Mulan, it is like so such a big scale blockbuster, but can feature an all Asian cast, which is a good thing for Asian Americans or for Westernized Chinese, Asian Americans or for Asians as a whole. For us, like for some reviewers on Douban, or for me personally, I think as 100% Chinese, I would think that even the cast are all Asian, but the thing is that the script, like the most important thing of the movie is like the plot, right? The script in itself is not written by Chinese, like it's not written by 100% Chinese who knows, like has a deep grasp of all the intricacies of the Chinese culture. So that is the problem now. So because they cannot appeal to the 100% Chinese people like us, we think that it is a misrepresentation of culture. But for Yong Sun An, because it's a Westernized Chinese, he thinks it's okay, he loves it, it's good Asian representation. But the mainlanders or like people in Hong Kong, they might not agree with that.
1 year later, Hong Kong had an entirely new Mulan campaign. Can you tell us about this Real Mulan campaign?
So it concerns Agnes Chow, who is a 23-year-old pro-democracy activist in Hong Kong. She got a new nickname recently, like people call her Mulan, because she got arrested recently after the national security law came into effect. And she's one of the youngsters who got detained on the charge of colluding with foreign forces. If she is convicted, she could face life imprisonment. So people think that people in Japan or people in Asia think that this activist is the true representation of a heroine that stand up to fight, because he is the one of the youth leaders like who launched the Umbrella Movement. Umbrella Movement is the world-renowned movement, a series of sit-in protests starting in 2014. Agnes Chow is one of the youth leaders who launched such movement together with Joshua Wong, the more famous youth leader. And so she got arrested, but she is totally undaunted, like her bravery, her determination. So people think that she is the real Mulan instead of Crystal Liu.
One last question. Would you go and watch this film yourself?
Because I find it very funny, discovery is that Western reviewers, they tend to praise this movie, saying this is a visual spectacle, that you have to watch it on cinemas because they film it in Xinjiang, they film it in New Zealand with all the panoramic, beautiful, natural scenery. So I want to like see it visually. Is it really such a visual spectacle? But as a Chinese, I will also think that I'm not interested in seeing the Western treatment of Chinese folklore. It's like you ask the Chinese studio to make a picture of Pocahontas. It's the same. It's not real treatment. It's very difficult for the Chinese studio to have an authentic representation, which is a beloved folklore figure in America. It's the same. But as a journalist, I think I will go see it. So to see for myself, like even though I really don't think it can have a true representation of our ancient folklore, but I want to see it visually, to see it on the cinema for a cinematic experience.
Thank you so much for your time, Elaine. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you.
Ting Guo is an adjunct assistant professor at the Gender Studies program at the University of Hong Kong. She researches, publishes, and teaches in the fields of religion, gender, and science and technology. Thank you so much, Ting. We are so glad to have you on board. So I grew up in Hong Kong. My first exposure to Mulan as a poem was back in high school in Chinese language textbook where we learned the poem. So what about your first exposure? When was that? And when you grew up in Shanghai, right? Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, sure. My first exposure to Mulan was when I was, I think, 4 or 5, very young, before I went to school. So my dad, I don't know, it's maybe him personally. I never asked kids about my age, but he taught me the whole collection of Chinese poetry before I went to school, including Mulan, of course. I was able to recite the whole poem before I was even to read it. So maybe about 4 or 5, that was my experience. And I loved it. I really loved it.
How did it touch you and what struck you the most when you first learned it?
Because the poem written, I think, over the time of different times by people around the borders of what we call China today, and really written as a folklore, folk song, as later it was compiled into the whole collection of folk song, folk lyrics. So it probably was not really written for literati. It was written for people probably who were just common folk who might have been illiterate. So it was very catchy, like the folk music that we listen to today is very catchy. So as a child who was not able to read or write, it was the same catchiness really caught me. It was like a song, catchy, really beautiful, the rhythm. I loved it. And also my parents would tell me about the story behind it, how a girl would dress up as a man to fight in the battlefield. That was like, wow, that's so exciting. And it's so unusual. And the story, and also I still remember that a major theme of the story was that she refused the reward from the emperor. So that kind of, as a rebel, like a female rebel, that really impressed me. Yeah.
Has that played any influences in your academic career?
Maybe indirectly. So last semester when I was teaching the intro to gender studies at HKU's, one session was on children's literature and the notion of gender. So I asked students what was your favorite children's story and what was the gendered role that you identify with, or what was a gendered memory about your favorite children's story? Most of them, even those who grew up in Hong Kong, would say, oh, I identify with maybe Hermione from Harry Potter. And then one student, a Hong Kong girl, said, but I'm Chinese, they're British, that I don't really feel that story. I don't really feel the moral of the story. But I identify with Mulan. Mulan was my hero. So that made me think, even today, students who are much younger than me, that we, that the female hero figure that we remember is still Mulan. She remains the figure that we see as the female hero.
For American and Western audiences, the history of Mulan in cinema starts in the 1990s. Can you take us through some of the different incarnations or remakes of Mulan in mainland China and Hong Kong cinema?
So I think the cinematic history of Mulan started in the early 20th century, and the earliest version, film version of Mulan is not available today anymore. I think it was made in the 1920s in Shanghai, but it's not available anymore, unfortunately. And there was a version in the 1930s during World War II. It carried a lot of symbols of war, of heroism, of nationalism, other symbols during the war. So, and produced in Shanghai and written by one of the best modern Chinese scriptwriters who was educated in Japan, in Waseda University, actually. And he dedicated his whole life to modernizing Chinese cinema and Chinese opera, Chinese theater. And he was, before 49, before the People's Republic of China, he was one of the left-wing writers, intellectuals, self-motivated. So I think he and his friends put a lot of these ideas, modern ideas and feminist ideas and left-leaning ideas into that film during the war for his compatriots. There's so many different versions of Mulan. And then there's another of Mulan made during the Cold War, during the Korean War, that I also remember very vividly, because for my parents' generation, the Korean War was such a print on their lives, a mark of their lives. And but that film version was based on a Yu opera. Of course, it had the ideological kind of motivation behind this version. But at the same time, it saw such a beautiful piece of artistic work as well. And I remember the lines from this version so clearly as well. There was a famous song from this version entitled 谁说女子不如男, who says women are not as good as men. And then there's one line that Mulan challenged her, you know, you're not being fair, that women, men are fighting in the front line for their country, but women are contributing to our nation just as much as men do. So they're just really powerful lines. Yeah, really powerful figures, although it did have an ideological background story to it.
Can you take us back to what goes on in Hong Kong back in 1970s and why is that so important?
Yeah, sure. So the Hong Kong version in 1970s, I think there are at least three famous versions at least made in Hong Kong about Mulan. And they were Cantonese opera, based on Cantonese opera. So this is very significant because Cantonese is the lingua franca for Hong Kong. And 1970s is a significant time for Hong Kong because after the so-called 67 riot in Hong Kong, a riot, I think, backed by the communists, but also a kind of left-leaning riot against colonialism as well. So after that, the economic development started to take off in Hong Kong, but also people started to have this real Hong Kong identity that was really emerging at the time. And also that generation who grew up in the 60s and 70s, they were kind of the first generation of Hong Kongers, as we call them today, because they were born in Hong Kong and they, unlike their parents who were born in the mainland and moved to Hong Kong and largely wanted to go back to mainland or had their roots in England, but that was the first generation who grew up in Hong Kong or directly born in Hong Kong, and they wanted to have their own identity based on Cantonese, their own language, and based on their own cultural expressions, based on their own popular cultural imaginings. So I think that makes the 70s Cantonese opera version of Mulan really significant for Hong Kong. And the actors and actresses of those versions, they were really stars of the Hong Kong cinema at the time.
Wow, thank you so much for that deep dive, historical deep dive. Can I just get you to go back to what is the latest, you know, regarding this movie? So right now the discussion in the West is dominated about the politics of some of the film's locations.
Yeah.
So, but can I ask you to quote the final two couplets of Mulan?
Yeah, sure. I think the way I was taught in Mandarin, because Mandarin was the proper language, so 双兔傍地走，安能辨我是雄雌?
In English, it is literally translated as, most people tell the gender of a rabbit by its movement. The male runs quickly, while the female often keeps her eyes shut. But when the two rabbits run side by side, can you really discern whether I am a he or a she? So can you explain for us how Mulan relates to the feminist awakening in China?
Of course. I think at least two levels to start with. First is like the self-asserting tone, self-asserting position as a woman, that she is not to be judged by her gender or the way she is required to behave according to social criteria. I think that's part of feminist awakening in China today. We can see from so many movements and so many feminist figures, so many calls for either from bottom up or from more asking for more structural levels of policy changes. And another level, I think more importantly, this is more in, by the way she, Mulan, responded to whoever asked this question, that she was challenging the person who asked the question. She was challenging so-called the authority. I think that's also clear from the poem itself, that she didn't directly challenge the emperor, but she did refuse to kind of behave in a certain way that she was supposed to behave. So that challenging authority, that courage, that kind of courage, that kind of action, that kind of guts, that's really part of the feminist awakening in China today, what women are asking for. Really, those feminists, they really know what the core problem is. So the core problem not only is gender stereotypes, not only is the unfair treatment to women, towards women, but also more precisely is the way the authority functions in China today. So challenging authority, I think, that's what Mulan means for today's feminist awakening in China.
I read about civil rights movement in China as well, and especially the latest feminism movement in China. How do you see the feminists today in China relate somehow to Mulan or what they're doing? The Me Too movement, how the Feminist Five, could you, you know, they're world-renowned feminist figure, even Hillary Clinton jumped in to do what's up for them. Can I get you to talk about that as well?
That's really quite amazing. That's really wonderful what the women and men as well in China have been doing in terms of feminist actions. So they probably wouldn't refer to Mulan directly, but they are just as inspiring, I think, as Mulan has been for many generations of women, including including generations after me as well. And this is a very interesting phenomenon because people probably would presume that in China, authoritarian society, it's not as easy to have such kind of mass movement. But in fact, kind of Me Too movement, for instance, I think, according to my observation, has been more successful in mainland China than in maybe Hong Kong even, which is very interesting. I think because there has been this tradition of rebellion, maybe, of pushing towards or pushing against something, so that it has been that.
We cannot talk about the movie Mulan without looking into what goes on in Twitter these days. The hashtag boycott Mulan. There's so much activity on that. So I'm wondering if you would like to talk about a particular pair of images that got tweeted. One of a scene from the new Mulan remake with a caption about protecting the emperor. The other image, a famous shot of a man in a red bandana on a mob heading on a Tiananmen Square protest.
This is really interesting because I saw that on Twitter too. I thought, oh, this is brilliant. I think the best kind of popular discontent about Mulan there is on Twitter. I think that line, the famous screen capture of the latest Mulan movie in which Mulan says, "It is my duty to obey or protect the emperor." Anyway, she talks about her duty, but her duty and loyalty lies in line with the power, or the power holder, or the authority. But the other famous image, that was the Tiananmen student protest in 1989, students in Beijing. So he also mentions duty. He says, I think he was, at the time he was asked by a journalist, so why are you doing this? Why are you going to Tiananmen Square? And he said, oh, because it is my duty to protest. It is my duty. So they both talk about duty, but they understand duty in very different ways. I think this one of the main reasons people are not happy with Mulan today, because Mulan goes back to a very old idea of obedience. But people are much more sophisticated than that, people both within mainland China and people outside mainland China.
How do you feel about the whole boycott movement that goes on Twitter these days?
Oh, I think it's brilliant. I just wish it could get more attention. This is something I'm quite surprised, because maybe we are all living in information cocoon, because all I see is boycott Mulan. But then Asian Americans in the US, they have no idea what's going on. They still see Mulan as a movie that speaks to minorities, speaks to racist issues, speaks to feminist awakenings. This is still this information gap, even on Twitter. I think Padma Lakshmi, the celebrity chef in the US, she said she's watching Mulan with her daughter, and somebody reminded her boycott Mulan. What that was about. So she very calmly read through the whole threads, and then she said, oh, I'm sorry, I had no idea. Now I won't watch anymore. So like, that's just a kind of a lovely episode of that kind of bridge people are trying to make today.
That bridges perfectly to our last questions. I was going to ask you, if I was an American mom who had a young daughter, would you recommend that I would let her watch the latest version of Mulan?
Probably not.
Why?
Probably because it's the message that they'll require unpacking would be too much, too complicated for maybe for a younger daughter. But if I want to convey her about the meaning of awareness about racism, awareness about diversity, awareness of feminism, I'd probably recommend the Disney cartoon version of Mulan made in the 90s. or some other films made by Asian female filmmakers and modern filmmakers, but not the latest Mulan movie.
Could you name a few of those?
I'm thinking of Taiwanese director Zhang Aijia's 20, 30, 40, or Chui Han, the Hong Kong director. He has a film all about women. I think that's a brilliant film as well. And there's a Chinese movie, 24 hours, maybe just 24, because the script, part of the script was written by one of the most amazing feminist poets in China. That's just a beautiful feminist film.
That's Ting Guo, adjunct assistant professor in gender studies at the University of Hong Kong. She's pretty active on Twitter. Search for Ting, T-I-N-G, Microway, and you will find her account. Now, as we mentioned earlier, Disney's live-action remake of Mulan is set to open this week in cinemas in mainland China. Yiling Yao will be covering the ongoing reaction to the film by Chinese audiences, and the SCMP team is covering the ongoing global reaction to Mulan at scmp.com. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Inside China podcast. My name is Mimi Lau. No matter where you are, thank you so much for wearing your mask. Thank you for keeping your distance. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
For more podcasts from the South China Morning Post, head to scmp.com, where you can hear more about technology, trade, culture, and society.